All right, then. let me call the meeting to order. It is now 7:03 p.m. Do we have anybody for public comment registered for public? Oh, wait, you know what? I forgot that before we go to public comments, can we have a roll call, please? Call the roll.
Chris?
Chris, are you, if you can just acknowledge, yes, that you're present.
We can come back to her.
Chris? Okay.
Angie, right. Absent. Ron, absent. Dan Lauber?
Here.
Debbie Frederick?
Here.
Jim Flanagan?
Here.
Lydia Manning?
Here.
And Chairperson Vasquez?
Here.
And
thank Chris, you. Chris?
Chris is present.
She is present. Can she hear us? Chris, can you hear us? She's not on mute.
She was having some audio issues earlier with something playing in the background, so she might have us now.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully we can get her attention eventually. Okay, what I wanted to do is at least now that we're all here, Ron Sherman indicated to us that he was not going to be able to make it today at the meeting. But as an update, Angie Setter indicated that her life has gotten busy. She has other family matters that she has to attend to. And so with that, she resigned from the committee. So Angie will not be joining us, unfortunately. So you know, we wish her well in her personal family endeavors. She's still going to remain in River Forest, to my understanding. She just has these personal commitments that came up that she has to address. So it's just going to be us and then Ron Sherman. He just couldn't make it today. So, all right, Chris. So. Moving on in the agenda, we have public comment. Is there any public comment that registered or?
No, and there's nobody else on the line.
Okay, so we take that no public comment. Okay, the next agenda item would be the approval of the minutes. Everyone received that, at least the draft minutes. Can I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes from our last meeting?
Oh, moved. Second.
Okay. Okay.
Second.
Dan, I'm sorry. I heard Dan. Jim, did you move?
Dan motioned to move and I second it.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. All right. That's where. Okay. Is there any discussion on the meeting minutes? If not, can we call the roll, Sarah? Or please call the roll.
Chris Howery?
Here. Or yes, or whatever I'm supposed to say.
Yeah, yes. Okay.
Yes, for sure.
Ron Sherman's absent. Dan Lauber?
For sure.
Debbie Frederick?
Yep, here.
Jim Flanagan?
Yes.
Lydia Manning?
Yes.
And Chairperson Vasquez.
Yes. Okay. Next on our agenda is Lydia, do you have any updates on the dementia-friendly group?
We are moving forward with the creation and the completion of the website. So hopefully that'll be ready for public consumption within the next month. I have another set of students, thank goodness, this fall term who I've assigned to work on that. So as soon as that's ready for distribution, you all will receive a link. And in our last meeting, with the Dementia Friendly group from River Forest, we had a pretty intentional conversation around issues related to wondering. and what our responsibility is to respond to that and partner with other entities in the village to address those issues. The Silver Alerts program, Officer Ransom, was in that meeting, and there are other entities that are interested in the conversation. So we're trying to figure out how to have a virtual meeting of different entities where that would be an issue and to share resources. So that's in the works. And then we also had an intentional conversation around making the most of our covenant with Maywood. And that's something that I think tonight, if there's time, we could explore what that looks like in our work. I feel like given all of the conversations around equity and understanding aging over the life course in terms of advantage and disadvantage and how that accumulates, we would be well served to partner with Maywood in doing some of this age-friendly work and dementia-friendly work in a meaningful way. And I don't know how exactly that would look. I know that Trustee Jones and Trustee Booker, I believe, are the two contacts that I received in Maywood who we would reach out to.
Okay. And thank you for that. And we can probably discuss that further under new business. And so we can take it there. Regarding the age-friendly collaborative, we didn't have any meeting this past month. So, and there's nothing to report on that. But Lydia, it looked like you were going to say something.
Yeah, you're talking about the mayoral caucus, right? Okay.
Yes, so, yes, I am.
So I think I mentioned this last time. We received another round of funding through CAT at the Center for Gerontology. And so in our funding line items, there's money to do, to support the mayoral caucus, the age-friendly mayoral caucus work at some level. So Lisa Peter Bomers, who's the director of operations at the center, she and I had a conversation with Kyle Smith, who is
in charge
of Kyle and Brian. I forget Brian's last name off the top of my head. All that to say
I think it's Thompson.
That's right. All that to say that we are partnering the Center for Gerontology, the Mayoral Caucus, I believe AARP of Illinois, and there's another, I think it's the Area Agency on Aging in the northeastern part of the state. I can't remember exactly who, but we're having another meeting where we're going to do a virtual summit, hopefully in January, where we bring statewide everybody together in the Chicagoland area and open it up to other states who are doing this age-friendly communities programming. And we're going to hopefully have it be over the entire month of January and have tracks and have different days designated to different topics. So that's just in the works, but we're excited about that. So you'll be getting more information on that in days to come.
Terrific. By the way, Lydia, is that going to be opened up to other villages, other municipalities as well?
Yeah.
So it's okay.
Yeah, I feel like there's so much work being done, and it's I'm recognizing even in my own work, instead of duplicating all these efforts, we would all be well served to combine forces and. You know, why reinvent the wheel when we can all partner and learn from each other? And we have the funding to do it. So I was thinking we could bring in some keynotes and then also maybe have a panel of experts in other states and other communities that have done this and done it well to train us, if you will, on how to do it. So those are my thoughts so far.
Okay. Okay. Does anybody have any questions from Lydia's report? If not, we can move on to, we don't have any old business, I guess. And I guess it's part of new business. It would be the next agenda item. And this is where I think we left it at the last meeting that we were gonna talk today about what is it that we would like as our objectives to complete. There were a couple of suggestions. Looking at in terms of what surveys to proceed with, also reviewing what plans other municipalities did from samples that we had was not to be limited to the AARP. So I wanted to continue that discussion with this group and then open up the floor for our discussion. So. I don't know who wants to start first, please, you can sort of raise your hand. I don't think I have to mute anyone. We can all mute ourselves individually while others are speaking. I think we're pretty much getting the knack of this. So, okay. Does anybody want to start? Okay. All right. I feel like I'm a law school professor, so I'm going to start picking at people. And Chris, I guess I wanted to follow up with you. You mentioned that you looked at a couple of plans, sample plans, or I shouldn't say sample, other municipal plans that you thought were pretty good to start off with. So maybe you can lead the discussion.
Okay. Right before this call, I was looking at the Hanover plan that Sarah has in the Dropbox, and it's from Hanover, Ontario, but it's really a nice plan. I was thinking maybe we should just pick this one up. It deals with the 8 areas that we would probably be dealing with. It also includes their surveys, so we see the kinds of the actual questions that they used that showed us the results. I thought that was really, really nicely done. And some of the others, the reports were good. This one had like everything in it. So I'm just suggesting that the Hanover, Ontario might be a good place to start. I love what Lydia was saying about getting together with other groups and let's not reinvent the wheel. I think that makes so much sense. Has anybody else seen the Hanover report?
I'm seeing people shake their head. So Lydia, did you, I saw you saying yes or no?
I think that's what I sent to Sarah. I know I sent a bunch of links, and I think that was one of them where when I was doing research, I'm like, oh, look, this is so user-friendly and clear-cut, and let's just, you know, use this as a potential model. Of course, we'll customize to our own needs, but it just seems
well-friendly to me
and transparent.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and okay. I thought it does have space where if there are things that we want to add or get rid of, because every community, they're a little bit more rural than we are, but I thought it was a really good template that we might want to work with.
Okay. Any other thoughts or comments?
Dan? That? Sarah, could you resend that? I don't have it for some reason.
Okay. Sarah, so if you can resend that link to the whole group, that way we're all on the same page, that'd be great. And one of the things now that Chris mentioned, the 8 domains of livability, eventually, if not today, I do want to have a discussion with all of us in terms of us focusing on those 8 to determine, do we want to make a decision in terms of which of those domains, or maybe all of them, I'm not sure, which of those domains are really what we want to focus on? Are any of those domains something that, based on river forest dynamics or environment, that we won't be able to apply or won't be much to do, so to speak, as well as some of the other domains that we'll be able to work on? I have people thought about those domains, and I'm not trying to limit us to only some of those domains. If we think we could do all of them, that's great. But I don't know if anyone has thought about prioritizing them in a certain fashion, or just saying, hey, Russ, we should be focusing on only these domains, and these others may be secondary we can look at, or maybe there's not much we can do in river forest with these domains. I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just throwing out ideas in terms of how we should proceed with this, because, and I know we talked about in general, about breaking up maybe some of these topics or assignments, individuals by one or two. And just my opinion, I'm almost hesitant about doing that, because if we're doing research, one or two of us can do that. But I think when it comes down to making recommendations and reviewing. I think all of us need to be part of that. I'm noticing we all have different backgrounds that will be helpful in terms of opining what their direction going towards or what it should be. So I think if we're doing individual research, that's fine. But I think when it comes time to dealing with each of the domains that we will agree to do to move forward, we should work. I mean, there's only five of us. Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. My math is not always best. So 6. Okay. So I think that's what I'm thinking. I don't know if you guys thought about that a little more or not. I know, Jim, last meeting you asked, well, what do we really want to do? What do we really want to accomplish? So I'm not trying to restrict exploring what we really want to do, but I don't know if we want to keep those 8 domains as part of the discussion moving forward. And if you have other thoughts, I welcome that too as well. So I'm just trying to see what people would like to do. You guys are really, I'm looking at Jim and Lydia, I guess you guys are really into gerontology and the studies. So I see you guys as the, I guess, educated experts, so to speak. Chris, I know you've been involved a lot with the community. So I see you as a lot of the individual viewpoint and community. And I guess Dan would fall in that same category. And Debbie, I know you would have some input as well. So part of it is we're all here because we're all interested in it. I just want to see how we can move this along. I want to make sure we're moving ahead and that everybody's at least satisfied. I mean, I say everybody because there's only a few of us now on this committee, that we can probably move ahead in a unified manner, so to speak. So,
Rez, can I add one thing? One of the things that we shouldn't forget about is the fact that we are part of this really great community. And maybe once, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, if we do our research and we do this across the community and we identify, mm-hmm. maybe there is in the 8 domains, maybe we pair up and we, whether we do some focus groups or ideation with some other seniors or other community members to come up with some of the solutions. So it's not just the 5 or 6 of us, that we really okay. start to bring in some other people to help us find what might we do to solve these.
Right, okay. And that would be fine. And I guess I know AARP, and this may be in the future, it doesn't have to be next meeting or whatever, they usually have done some, for lack of a better word, some training or guidance on how municipalities can approach this. I'm not sure if Lydia and Jim, they probably seen that, done that. So I don't know if that's necessary for our group. If you guys already been doing that, I know Dan has had similar experiences of moving ahead with housing and zoning issues. I do recall Dan also saying we shouldn't limit ourselves to AARP. So I'm not trying to do that. I'm just trying to solicit from you in terms of the direction we should be going. I mean, if we want to start off with, for example, Hanover Parks plan and start looking at that, tweaking at that, that'd be, you know, I'm okay with that. I don't know if that's everyone's comfortable. Well, I should say, not that you're uncomfortable with it, if others have different thoughts or suggestions. Yes, Jim. And Jim, you're muted, so.
As a point of just clarification, I was under the understanding that what we were embarking on right now was a listening tour of our community. We were supposed to craft some survey, questionnaire, or means to understand better what the needs of the community were from other people's perspectives, not from ours necessarily. So are we still, is that, because I think jumping straight to the Hanover plan, you know, and in all honesty, you know, Lydia and I, I, especially in my studies a number of years ago, because I'm fresher out of this, you know, had looked at as initiatives for even Celebrating Seniors Coalition, did we want to be age friendly, and what did that mean? Okay, what did it look like? What did it mean? And what we came to the conclusion of was to ultimately want the domains of age friendly as they relate to our community to be meaningful, to create either a healthier, safer, or more friendly environment for people to age and live in, and people of all ages. You know, I think it's important to you know, to all ability, all age. You know, think about the fact that, you know, a 36-inch door is good for a disabled person, but it's easier to get through for a normal person too, especially if you have to move a dresser. So, you know, this is good for everyone. So, so I think it best maybe to kind of back up. The conclusion that I don't know if at some point, and I can track him down, but Lydia, Brad Winicky, I think, is the architect. So Brad is a member of ASA, American Society on Aging. We see him at these meetings down at Rush.
He'll be a part of the Mayoral Caucus Age Friendly Virtual Summit.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well,
and conversations with Kyle.
So he would be, I think, from an education, like he was able to sit me down over a cup of coffee and kind of turn my head 90 degrees on the issue of age friendly and really what it means. And so when you look around and you look around at some of the domains, you know, we are going to find that we don't have much ability to affect what PACE is going to do, what the Regional Transportation Authority is going to do. We can work on ordinances in our own village. But all the eight domains are important, and they all should be addressed, and maybe even a ninth or a tenth if we could find it. But at the same time, I think, you know, it will get to that point, and the plans are out there. The problem with polling people about aging or aging services, we found time and time again, is that people don't connect with them. People in a lot of respects relate these matters to death. And there's a real strong correlation between one's desire to understand how the senior bus works and one's own longevity. So people actually get into a denial forced mode. People at the township, we talk about this, and they talk about it all the time. People will say, I had no idea. You know, we've got a building on Oak Park Avenue. The buses are driving around. It's prominent in the newspapers and publications. But then people claim they had no idea that we had any services for seniors. So we're up against the psychology of that. I think Dr. Manning might elaborate on what I'm saying, because she was with me on the path of, hey, do I pursue as like a dissertation subject the age-friendly project in River Forest is kind of where I've always lived. So Brad was an excellent resource on really kind of, hey, focus on, he's an expert, and he's, you know, he's known for his work in this area. So that's kind of where I think we need to focus, is really kind of going back to, we were charged with responsibility to kind of get input from other people. Maybe we just, it's simpler than that right now. So maybe what we need to do is very quickly to help develop that survey, that process, get it in the works, and then incorporate that into how we tweak these plans.
Okay. And go ahead, Dan, go ahead.
Well, I'd like to suggest that we see if we can get Brad Winnick to come to perhaps our next meeting to address us and to explain exactly what age-friendly means and what the planning process is. He is co-author of that American Planning Association report on this. And I think that would be rather helpful, because I'm feeling a little bit like we're kind of floundering. The charge to this committee is rather extensive, but ultimately it's to develop a plan. And specifically in that charge, it does have do a survey. The survey, actually, I did do some thinking about some of the specifics and information. I think we left it last time we tried to discuss what we want to learn from a survey a little bit. And I was hoping I could, I made some notes. I apologize for not being as fully prepared for this as I wanted to be. For some reason, July, August, and now September are the busiest months of my work life ever. And July and August are supposed to be slow. I don't get it. It's a damn pandemic. So I did take some notes that I'd like to share. I could share the screen and show them to you. They should be big enough to read.
Sure.
And
Dan, before you do that, and I, if you don't mind, I just want to get closure on Brad. So is everyone in agreement that if we can get Brad to come in at the next meeting, that we should have him at the next meeting? Everyone okay with that?
If he's available.
Assuming he is available, and if he's not, then the following meeting, but as soon as we can get him. But I guess so that we can, Sarah can write that down. And Sarah, if you don't have his contact information, I'm assuming that Lydia or Jim can give you that information as a follow-up. But let's see if we can try to get him at the next meeting that we have, okay? All right, now, Chris.
Does he have something written that we could read? We've got it.
In fact, I think Dan
has your service report. Yeah.
Oh, that's okay.
That PS report.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Dan. All right. Any other questions on Brad? Otherwise, I'm going to turn it back to Dan. He was going to run through a document for us. Okay. Somebody? No? Okay. Dan? Back to you.
Okay. Hopefully my screen is sharing now.
Yes.
Okay. You see the age friendly thing? Okay, good.
Correct.
So, you know, from what I can tell, one of the things we have to do, and these can be done simultaneously, is we need an assessment of our current assets, of what we have to be age friendly, but we really can do that only after we know what we're looking for, which means hearing from Winnick, hearing, I assume that Lydia and Jim have a lot of good suggestions they can make as to what constitutes being age friendly. The housing recommendations in that PAS report, rather important. We and this is part of this, what the survey would need to do is assess needs, current and projected future housing needs and demand, to better understand where older adults live, their options and barriers to aging in River Forest. And there's a few other points they made that, you know, we need to keep in mind. But in terms of, you know, surveying, I think one of the highest priorities is housing, because that determines who can continue to live here. And if you can't live here, then everything else falls by the wayside. So I would think that's a rather high priority. And any survey we do would need to find out about affordability, type of tenure, ownership or rental, their current and future needs, how long they want to live in their current dwelling, traditional community housing, how important it is to live out your life in River Forest. If it's not important to people, then that's a different story. Whether people need supportive housing and the different range of supportive housing options here. You know, one of the best out there are senior group homes, which are a great alternative to nursing homes, and we have zero in River Forest. We have zero in this immediate area, and they're badly needed, and they beat the hell out of nursing homes. They're much, you know, you're living with six or seven other people in a house, and it costs 40% less than a nursing home, and it's a much better living arrangement. You know, whether or not people need access to the L, whether we need visitability features here in River Forest in new construction. In other words, making houses accessible to people with mobility issues. And of all places, Bolingbrook, not exactly a bastion of progressivism, has had an ordinance of this nature for years. And then, of course, is there really any interest in accessory dwelling units? That's a real tricky thing to ask about. We need to learn about mobility and disability, vehicle ownership and usage, whether people really use public transportation or need to, and which type they need, and about getting around on foot. Safety strikes me as a big issue here. vulnerability of vehicular traffic that the PAS report notes, but also driving at night, walking in residential areas at night, biking in residential areas at night. We've got issues with, we may have issues with our street lighting that might be of concern to people. And then, you know, at the end of any survey, you have to get the demographic information. You keep it at the end because that way people may, you know, if you put it at the beginning, people may not even answer the survey. You put it at the end, people have invested so much time in the survey, the chances of them answering the questions are much, much greater. And, you know, from that report, it points out about making this plan, then reviewing our codes and eliminating from the codes any disincentives or impediments to an aging supportive community. Understand the needs of older drivers, understanding community connectivity, et cetera, all those sorts of things. So those are basically the notes I was able to put together. I'll stop sharing my screen. How do I, there we go. So, you know, those are some sort of very preliminary thoughts. Again, as I've said before, I would hate to see us go and do what we have, the mistake we've made in so many of our other surveys by the village, where they just stick something up on a website, get a random sample, get a self-selected sample of 18 or 38 people and say, this is what the community thinks, which is just absurd beyond belief. But, you know, we've got to really figure out what we want to learn. Those are, you know, some things about housing. They're not complete. And I really want to hear from Brad Winnick to get a better idea. And, you know, whatever input Lydia and Jim have from working in this area is get a better idea of what we really need to know in order to develop a plan that's going to be responsive to the people's needs of older adults. And again, there's the issue they brought up in the, I think in the PAS report or in the, in one of the studies or one of the plans about you don't want to just survey people 65 and older. You want to get people that are in the previous, earlier age, younger age cohort, because they're going to be the next generation of older people. You want to know what they want as well. So it gets a little bit complicated. And, you know, I may be a planner, but this is an area I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on. Housing needs stuff, I know a bit about, but, you know, seniors, that's something we need Brad's input and whatever we can extract out of Lydia and James' minds would be extraordinarily helpful.
And, oh, Dan, I totally agree with what you just said too. And I think housing is going to be an important thing that we're going to look at as well, for sure. And Chris, you were raising your hand.
Yeah. I want to go back to what Jim was saying, because I think what you said about people not thinking about aging until they're old, not knowing what they need. I know I had completed, I think it was a straw dog survey for what Val Lester had been doing,
right,
and Barb Merle. And I looked at it and it's like, I have no idea where I'm going to live. I have no idea. Yeah, it would be nice if I stayed here, but not necessarily. And the fact that people don't accept, we don't think about how old we are and we don't know what's going to happen. And so Jim, how do you deal with that? How do you do a survey when people are just completely at sea or don't want to confront the fact that they're going to at some point be of a certain age?
It's a conundrum. The other problem is, and I agree wholeheartedly with Dan about, you want to go down the generation to look into, you know, what aging is going to look like, because technology would be different, use of technology, different activity levels and needs. Those people have even less of a clue.
Right.
Then there's a percentage, I think it's a 4 to 6% of the population, which has an issue with what's called future time perspective, where they can't even they can't even plan into the future. So I deal with this disinterest or disconnect in my personal business. And one of the things that I found doing the work in my dissertation was that of an N of 30, a small N of 30, 19 people claim, these are people between the ages of 55 and 85. And 10 in each category is up the age chain, 55, 65, to 75, to 85. 19 out of the 30 claim that they had never at any time thought of retiring or what retirement was or saved for it. Only 2 of 30 admit to planning throughout the life course for the event. So you've got a real big disconnect between the way that people, you know, a part of it is what we call the power of present self and future self. The future self has little power, and present self has all the power. You know, should we save money for retirement or should we go on a vacation? Present self has all the power. And so this is just the way the human architecture works. So that being said, I don't think that there's anything that you can do other than ask the questions properly, the way Dan is saying, you know, really, really, really honing in on what you want to do, the way you want to ask them, keeping it short, leading them through the survey, possibly multiple surveys, you know, depending on what we got, and then get the right sample, and then evaluate the data. And again, Lydia, would you agree, or how would you weigh in on what the research says about that?
You know, I'm not a big fan of deceit, but with aging, it's almost like you have, because we're such an ageist society and people just don't, you don't want to talk about aging, you don't want to talk about death, people equate the two. If you can get people to think about aging without using the term aging in a creative way, I think you stand a chance at getting at some of these answers. I mean, I struggle with it all the time in, you know, teaching people about aging and gerontology. It's like, how do you promote this as a field of study when people are just in such denial? And in many ways are disgusted by issues relating to old age and aging. And it's hard, you know, I think it's language. I have my head's kind of swirly and I don't know if any of it's going to make sense, but not that the dementia friendly model, not that age-friendly and dementia-friendly are the same at all, but I think what works so well with a dementia-friendly model is there's a bunch of education about what dementia is and an intentional conversation about minimizing stigma and dealing with isms. And I'm wondering for us if this age-friendly discussion in the village could learn from that, where instead of just coming right out and trying to understand these issues and getting people to think about them, if somehow we spent some time doing some education about what age friendly is and what it means to age in place and why this is important to maybe offset that, I don't know. So just my thoughts. And then regarding housing, I'm looking at my computer because I have the 8 domains up, the ARP 8 livability domains for age friendly. And I think for us, some of them could be condensed. But I do think housing and transportation are issues that everybody talks about. And every conversation I've ever had about aging anywhere with anyone, housing and transportation are key elements to keeping people in community. And so I don't know that we're all that much different from the larger national and international. I mean, I've had conversations in Ohio, I've had them in Ireland, like everybody's dealing with housing, keeping people in space, and then how do we move people in and around and about. And I can't imagine that's differing, that we differ from that, but I could be wrong. And then if housing is important and we do want to try to tackle it or have a meaningful understanding, Chris, I pulled up Barb's survey and I have a draft of it. It's not perfect. We could edit it or tweak it, but Barb and Val and Rez, you too, I mean, there was a significant amount of thought that went into that, pulled from focus groups individual interviews, and I can post it in the chat if people want to look at it and as a Word doc. But we don't have to reinvent that wheel either.
Okay.
And Debbie, I think you were saying something.
Well, I have a question. I probably lost my train of thought, but again, coming as the regular person that's not nearly as informed as you all are, there's no question we're all in denial about it. I was totally in denial about it. One day you just realize the steps are going to be an obstacle. You have no clue. And I think the challenge is to be able to, if you want to stay in your own home, be able to afford to stay in your own home and physically stay in your own home. I think from the survey standpoint, I think I love getting surveys over the internet and do those surveys with the park district, whoever. But I don't think a lot of people do. Interestingly enough, I have some elderly neighbors across the street, and this really hit me between the eyes. When I chatted with them this weekend, they said, did you send in your mail-in ballot registration? They were worried they hadn't gotten a ballot back. And I thought, I did that online. I was able to go online to the voter registry and, get a number, a confirmation number. And I thought, these people need help just being able to get a mail-in ballot. They can't, they don't want me to come into their house and do, but that's the type of thing I think that people need help with. And I think that, I think multiple surveys, I think sometimes you have to hit people in between the eyes several times. And I think perhaps if you hypothetically said, if you answer this like you were answering it for your parents, maybe, because my kids are all, my kids are essentially in their 40s, and they can think about the future probably better than I did. They literally don't have time to breathe, much less sit down and kind of mull over it. So I think we're in denial. There's no question. And it's just when suddenly you reach the edge of the cliff, you're like, holy cow, wait a minute here. And so I think the community, people don't access the services until they're desperate and need it, which is sad. But informing them of them is a gift. I'll tell you, it's a gift.
Go ahead, Dan. Dan, we can't hear you.
Apropos to what everyone's been talking about, we have among our resources, I believe, this livability for all survey of Honolulu, Hawaii adults age 45 plus. And that might be worth taking a look at because it did survey people 45 and older. It does include the survey in there. The survey itself is terrible. It's way too complex. Mm-hmm. It's very similar to the surveys the park districts put out here, these monster tables that are impossible to answer and scare the hell out of people. Any survey instrument that we do develop, it's going to have to be customized to our needs to elicit the information that we need to produce a responsive plan. And while we can look at other surveys, we certainly need to look at them with a careful, evaluative eye. Most surveys, don't think I'm really going out on a limb here. Most surveys are very poorly written and constructed, and they're not properly conducted. If we produce a good survey, I think, as Debbie pointed out, it's got to be a male survey. In order to reach a full amount of people. In Honolulu, they found that one-sixth of the people, I think 65 and older, don't even use the internet.
Right.
Which I know to us seems unbelievable, but I've been astounded at, let's say, the lack of computer and internet literacy among people of all ages, not just as old folk. So I think we're making some progress here. Would it be worthwhile for us, Sarah, you're going to get us that document that Lydia was talking about. And I assume this 2014 livability survey that was done with ARP in Honolulu, that might give us some useful ideas as well. But, you know, we really, at some point, we got to figure out what we need, what we want to learn. We can't craft questions until we know what we want to learn. And I guess Brad Winnick's going to be of great help. And, you know, Lydia and Jim's experience should be of great help as well, I would think. As well as resourcing the AARP stuff. But, you know, if we can narrow it down, what we need to look at, because, you know, we've got a ton of stuff. Let's be honest, we're not all going to look at everything. It's impossible. We have lives. So if we can, you know, people familiar with these different documents can really help narrow it down to what we should look at, that would really, I think, increase the chances that we'll actually all be able to look at these things and devote adequate time to them.
Okay. And I was going to add, and is Brad and what his report is, would be that was, would that be a good starting point? And again, going to Dan's suggestion, and I know Chris talked about Hanover Park, but it wasn't just so much jumping to the plan as opposed to, I think she indicated there were some other surveys in there, or were there? Did I misunderstand, Chris? There were surveys in there. I guess it was and I'm not saying that's going to be the answer, because I do think whatever survey we're going to look at, we are going to have to tweak it for River Forest. So I think, as Dan is saying, if we have, and obviously Chris is, suggesting Hanover Park is one document to look at. Brad and his report is another, sounds like. There's a link, and I think that's the link that Lydia is saying, or I could be wrong, but I am trying to collect Lydia, your link was to the Hanover Park thing. Okay, so we have that.
Well, the survey that Barb and Val put together, which I just emailed to Sarah, and it's in a Word document.
Okay, great.
I piloted with my folks and got some interesting feedback from them, but it's a doable, so like it, you know, cognitively speaking, like hanging together, you know, it's a doable survey, but it's just, it's a start. Correct.
And that's relating to housing, right? Yes. I'm sorry, Sarah?
I just wanted to say, I just dropped that into that Dropbox folder that I shared with you guys 10 minutes ago.
Okay, so it's in there. All right. But I do have a question, and maybe this is jumping too far ahead of ourselves, but on the question is there any recommendations on how to follow up and with seniors in getting responses? And I know obviously technology is not something it sounds like that seniors use, but if we do a mailing, I'm assuming we'll get some percentage of that. How do we, or is there a process already, Dan, and I'm, or Jim, or Lydia, or the group, where that, okay, send a mailing, how do you confirm you got, or who you got the mailing responses from, if it's anonymous, and for example, if there's 10% of River Forest who are seniors, and we only get 3%, how do we know who the other 7% are? Is there a formula, a way to do this so that we can try to ensure we get not just duplicate responses, but a full complete response from seniors in River Forest, if it's possible? I don't know, that's a question.
It's not possible. What we want is a genuine randomized sample of our universe, which are seniors. You can buy mailing lists. There are mailing list houses that maintain databases in different municipalities with age cohorts in them. So we can buy you can buy that kind of a database. Then you do a random sample. As I think I may have explained with Naperville for the housing survey we did, we got a 65% response rate from residents, which is extraordinarily good. We followed the Don Dillman's methods. He's a chief consultant to the Census Bureau. He's the king of random sample surveys. And basically you first send out a postcard to your sample, letting them know they're going to get a survey. You have, you know, someone from the village signs it. It could be from the whole village board. And then a week later, they get the survey. The way you work it is you do a return envelope with a department number on it. It's a unique department number for each person surveyed. So when the survey comes back, you mark them in your database as returned. You don't do any further communications with them. 2 or 3 weeks later, I forget the exact timing, for those that haven't returned the survey, you do another mailing of the survey. Or you do a postcard reminder, I forget which. And then you, either way, you wind up with another reminder of the survey, and you wind up eventually with 3 iterations of sending out the survey. And that's how you get the high response, coupled with doing the survey right, where you're asking just one question at a time. It's easy to do, and it's in plain English without any jargon. And you structure it properly. So, that, I mean, at 65% rate, actually, for the survey, people that follow Dillman's method, that's low. They've done a fellow planner named Bill Toner used to teach at Governor State. He got an 85% response rate of citizens of Will County a number of years ago. That's extraordinary. But you know, once you get a survey response rate way up there, you can be very, very confident your response is reflecting the full universe that you're surveying, and it's not a self-selecting sample. That's the big danger, is a self-selecting sample. It's just not going to be representative of who we're trying to survey. So it takes time, it takes some money, but it pays off with an accurate results. Okay. And, you know, with seniors, as Debbie was pointing out, I don't see much choice but to do a mail survey. I suppose you could do a hybrid where you send out a mail survey, but also give an online version people could go to where they put in their department number, and that's how you identify them and take them off the list. That, I assume that's something that's conceivable. But, you know, written survey is largely the way you're going to get people to respond, particularly in this age range.
Okay. And Dan, as part of that, or in addition to, I know there were recommendations or suggestions, I should say suggestions, about having like sample meetings or town meetings, or trying to reach out physically. And I know with COVID, it probably is not, but whether you can do it at, and I don't know if this is the case or not, but is our River Forest Public Library, they used to have meetings in person, but I don't know if they're doing any virtual meetings with our seniors, or I'm a little sensitive now with what Debbie is saying, is if a lot of our seniors aren't using any technology, maybe that fell off the wayside too. And maybe the mailing is the only way to reach out to, or to successfully get feedback from our seniors if they're not technology oriented, so to speak. And so I don't know if Dan in your field for housing, but also Jim or Lydia in your area of research in terms of this area, how are, I'm sure COVID is affecting seniors in terms of what the technology issues and communication. So are there any suggestions how to deal with that? Or is the mailing the only or the best way at this point in time?
I like the hybrid option where, you know, the mail is still an option for people if they want to, if they have the ability to use online or technology and they want to complete it online. And I don't know, but also, other ways that we can incentivize participation. I mean, it could be a randomized sample, but you know, if you complete your survey and get it back to us by X date, you're entered into a pool, a lottery where you, receive 2 free parking passes and complimentary trash collection for a year from the village, right? And I think, or whatever, like people could choose, but to make it even more appealing to complete the survey, you know. Without it being coercion.
You really want to incentivize people, give them everyone who responds a River Forest U.S. Census face mask. Those are the best masks I've ever seen.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. I think what Lydia brought up earlier, though, is none of this is mutually exclusive. In other words, even as we're preparing a survey and doing the survey, doing meetings, focus groups and meetings like Lydia talked about is probably something we should be doing, you know, as we figure out what it is we're trying to do.
Right.
And it can be reached via the Village newsletter. It also could be reached via the Village phone calls that they do. And I think folks, you know, in this current age, you know, at least for another year, a year from now, we're going to be meeting online virtually. There's not going to be in-person meetings that are safe.
Right.
So I think we're going to have to rely on seniors to use Zoom, which is pretty easy to use. And I don't think seniors are quite as computer illiterate as a lot of us think. At least the younger seniors certainly aren't. They're capable of using Zoom. They're using it for family meetings. So it's, I think it's not necessarily a total impossibility.
I think they're a little sensitive about putting any personal information, logging onto the Illinois site and requesting about, I think some of that, I mean, it's complicated. So, right. I think, you know, family meetings, and I think older people like to read the news online or certainly email, or my neighbor was saying her 95-year-old mother loves YouTube. She gave her a tablet and she does YouTube and email or something. But I think it's limited to almost like observing, like an audience, than it is interacting. And I don't think they pay their bills online. Let me put it that way. I think they still write checks. That's my observation.
That's good. The Postal Service needs the business.
I agree. I'm all for it. Yep.
We could also reach out to Betsy Kelly and see if she would be willing, in some of her work. She's already engaged in sort of data collection, listening sessions at some level for older adults, but maybe we could set up a time where you could call in Mondays from, I don't know, 10 to 2 on the landline and just express your feelings about what age friendliness is if you're an older adult. Maybe she would be willing to collect to serve as a listening line for a designated period of time in relation to some of this.
Could you refresh our memories who Betsy Kelly is?
Betsy Kelly is the Village liaison.
Township.
But she, I get everybody confused. She took Kathleen Roach's position. So township senior services point person for River Forest, and she works under Carla Sloan. But I'm wondering, you know, they were on the call last month. Was that last month? Right. And so maybe she would be willing to kind of support some of this, you know, data collection at a fine level.
Okay. Okay. That's a good point. That's a good point. Okay. So, yeah, Jim?
Lydia, do you remember?
Jim, you're muted.
Can you tell me what percentage of our population is senior? Is it 13%?
I think it's 14.7.
Okay.
So yes, I think it's about 14.
Correct. And we're roughly at about 12,000.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, so about 11,500, I think, is okay, where
then,
we're at.
Then we're talking about a universe. If we're talking about just River Forest, of between 1,500 and 2,000 people.
Correct.
If we start thinking about cost to produce postcards, cost to do, to start to refine, cost per mailing. That gives us at least a quantified number. And then I think
the 65 plus group, though. I mean, if we drop it down to 45, which I think is a really important and piece of it, then I think obviously it'd be a little bit bigger.
We're going to go to 50% of the population at least.
Well, no. Remember, we're talking about a random sample. All we need is a random sample of about 300 people, and we'll get an accurate survey.
So Dan, when you say a random sample, I guess I was thinking we're going to send it to everybody in the village and hoping that we get 300. But are you saying just send it to 300?
Yes. Oh. Yes.
Okay.
That's a scientific way of doing it.
Survey 101, right? Like, we don't need a census. We just need a sample that's representative of the larger population. And if the number is high enough, we can make, correlations, yeah, arguments, use data to generalize, okay, to the larger population.
Okay. So if going back, assuming it is 50% of the village, then we're, and you threw out 300, Dan, I didn't know if that was just hypothetical, but there's a certain number of that 50% of the villages, what you're saying should be the random sample that we can come, well, how that random sample is defined is what you're saying.
Well, I'm saying you can, with Naperville, with a population of 110,000, then when we did the survey, housing survey, we did a random sample consisting of about 360 households. That's all we needed.
Okay.
And okay, with a 65% response rate, we had what's considered to be a very accurate representation of the population in the city. We, in Naperville, we oversampled the renters because we expected a lower response rate from them. Right. But in Naperville, we had an inn. They have their own municipal, I think it was water service, and all the apartments were individually metered. So it was very easy. The city was able to provide us with a universe to draw the random sample from, because they had all the names and addresses of every dwelling occupant in the city. We don't have that here in River Forest, which is why we'd probably have to purchase a list from a reputable service company. I think that's with that survey of Honolulu, they purchased the list.
Okay. All right. Liddy, were you going to say something? Okay. So I guess I'm trying to move us forward. We're definitely getting a Brad. We're going to try to get Brad for the next meeting if he's available. We're going to read his report, and we can all, for those of us who are not familiar with the report, we should read it and then be prepared to have a good dialogue with Brad about what in place is. I'm assuming Jim, that's, or Dan, since the both of you talked to that issue, that we would find out from Brad what aging in place would be, what his recommendations would be moving forward. Obviously, we do want to move and get surveys. Already there is a survey I know relating to housing, Dan, that was just deposited in our Dropbox for our group. Look at that, and I guess if there's other surveys as well that we should be looking at or recommending, we should forward those over to Sarah, and then she can send it to us. And Sarah, I guess I'm going to suggest that as you receive them, you can distribute to the group accordingly when you get them, so that we can start looking at them as they're being recommended by our group for a review, if that's okay. And then I do think that surveys is ultimately what we're going to be doing. So how to get to a good survey, by looking at samples that we're ultimately going to tweak. I do want to make sure too that, and maybe the mailing is the best approach, or a hybrid approach, both online and a mailing. And Dan, off the top of your head, you're saying with the mailing approach you did with the random sampling, do you, I know the numbers may be different, but how much was the cost of doing that when you were at Naperville?
Okay, please remember it included, we retained the services of a survey expert to do the cross hatching, the analysis of the data. So he, took certain characteristics and gave us the answers to the surveys based on the respondents' characteristics. That was a big part of it. The total cost of it to Naperville was just under $25,000. And I think this was about 10 years ago. And it produced a very lengthy report, which was in the first packet of material. It should be somewhere in your material, which includes a survey and explanation of the methodology. But this was pretty extensive cross analysis of the data, and I don't think we're going to have to do that kind of analysis. So that right there saves somewhere between $5,000 and $8,000, I think. So, and then, we had to be paid. We didn't get a lot of money per hour out of it, but it was a little bit of a labor of love.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Lydia and Jim, you in your area, have you worked with outside consultants like what Dan's talking about that does this type of research, or how much of that is, I don't know.
You're a researcher, university? You do it yourself.
Okay, I was going to say.
Yeah, I'm going to have the luxury of consulting and hiring it out. I just do it.
Okay.
I've worked on other projects where people have, hired out the surveying and the analysis and the report generation.
Okay. And I didn't know if there's some other resources such as
survey coding.
Whether students can be involved in compiling, reviewing the results as they come in, that type of thing, if they're in that field, so to speak. I'm just throwing ideas of how we can involve others and what other options there are in terms of that. So
it involves a sophistication and a set of skills. And so sometimes students, they're learning to do this.
Okay.
It would be great if I had a student who were interested and they wanted it to be their dissertation topic, because I think the whole age-friendly, the whole situation would make for a really great dissertation, research project. Okay. But I don't know. I mean, it just kind of depends on who's interested.
What I was referring to was coding. The outside consultant used the coding, which in a spreadsheet that they gave us all the data by characteristics.
You can do that with SurveyMonkey too, with a professional level of SurveyMonkey. But it makes it so easy, but we'd have to input.
Right.
I did this with, I did a survey for Forest Park District. This was through Executive Service Corps. And we sent out 1,600. And they were going, because this is Park District, and this was, what do you want? What do we not have? And we were doing strategic planning. And we got about 40% back. And to reach seniors, we went to Forest Park's Senior Center, which has a lot of seniors. We don't have that here. And but that's where I think Betsy Kelly might be really helpful in reaching out, because the library still, even though their coffee Mondays are virtual, they still get a good turnout there and some of the programs. But that's also self-selected. We're not reaching the people in apartments on North Avenue or over on Lake Street, and we need to make sure we get that as well. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And Lydia, I was going to ask you, if we were somehow successful in getting an intern, I know MMC is looking at that for various municipalities, but I know like Oak Park has one as well, or had one. I'm not sure if they still do. Do you think that's something an intern can help us with too, as well, and doing some of the work?
Oh yeah, I think an internship or a student, to help support some of it and do some of the labor and I think I could ask our students, our master's or DAC students, if they would be interested. I guess I was also thinking, I don't know if, I know that the mayoral caucus, I know Kyle's department, Kyle Smith's department was successful in securing an AmeriCorps intern or AmeriCorps worker. And I don't know if the village would be positioned to apply to have an AmeriCorps worker. And if so, if there was an, like an age-friendly related AmeriCorps person, that might be something to explore too. I mean, I could get information on how they did that, but.
Okay. Okay, that would be great. Because, you know, I'm just trying to get as many resources that we can to work on this. Especially if they're pulling, I wouldn't say doing the information in terms of pulling it by every senior, but in terms of gathering or some of the information or reviewing some of the information or, you know, putting it somewhat in a cohesive manner might be eventually what we're going to be looking at. So I'm just trying to be prospective here in terms of that. But okay, so going in short term here in terms of obviously getting to focusing on surveys, but as Dan indicated, what do we want? I guess, what do we want to learn from a survey? I'm assuming then, Brad, or is there other reports that are out there that you think would be good to look at in terms of making that determination of what, obviously we have the general response. We want to know what River Forest seniors want, need, et cetera. That's the general thing in terms of layman's terms, but I'm assuming it's more specific as Dan seems to be talking about, like on his list of this handout of what he showed us, more like particular ideas of what we should be looking at. Is that something we should be doing as well in terms of that, or is there something out there that that would help us, you know, give us a list of 100 things that we should be looking at, and then we can whittle it down to what we think applies to River Forest? I'm just thinking out loud here. I know, look, Dan's looking at me like, oh my God, that's not how it works. I'm just trying
It is how it works. You start list of what you want, what you think you might want, and then you whittle it down strategically to what you really need to know in order to develop a plan. You know?
Okay. Is there already a list out there that has been created that you would feel is a good list to start looking at so we can start whittling it down, so if we do it that way? I don't know.
I have no idea. I would say, you know, we've got all these sample surveys. We've got AARP, got the Honolulu one, the Hanover, Ontario one. Those will give us some ideas.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think that's a good start. So looking at the surveys that we, you know, in a way, I don't want to reinvent the wheel too, if a good amount of, and maybe there's a couple of surveys that we like portions of, and we can probably try to put it together or tweak it so it fits River Forest, but build it so that we cover those what we want for River Forest, if that makes sense. So, is that, I mean, Jim, since you were the one who raised this issue in terms of surveys, is that the direction you think we ought to be going to? Do you have a suggestion? Should we all be looking at what would consider good surveys to follow up with or start?
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of the content is out there, you know, already. That's the starting point. You know, then we can kind of look at the needs of our community specifically to find out what's we think is most important and go from there.
Okay. Then can we do this? Can we, can I suggest that we each look at various surveys or what we think would be good surveys to start off with, at least for examining and see what we can put together. And Chris, your hands up.
We have a couple that have been identified. There's the Barb Merle survey that with Val Lester, there's the Hanover, and Dan was talking about a Honolulu one. I think we just limit it to maybe those three. And let's look at those rather than just going out and getting more, because I think there are going to be millions. And Lydia, Jim, if there are any that you've seen, any especially AARP that you might want to throw in, but let's limit it and I'll look at the same stuff.
Okay. What was the first one you said?
Barb Merle, Val Lester.
And that just got put into the Dropbox. That's the one I mentioned earlier. And so it's just, it's in Word doc, so it's just a draft. But
is Barb a River Forest resident, or is she in Oak Park?
Oak Park.
Oak Park.
Okay.
Okay.
And Barb is, she's got a background in social science and research, and so she does have survey generation skills, and that survey is unique in that she tried hard to build it so people could engage in sort of present future thinking, and also preference, like providing preference, right, of an imagining thing. It's an interesting survey, but that's a little context on that one.
And yeah, from what my conversation with Barb was that she really tried to focus in on a senior when they receive it, how to try to make it engaging so that they would be able to look at it and complete the full survey. It's definitely a good model to look at. And she's from Oak Park, but she also understands from River Forest as well, in terms of that. So I think she had both perspectives when she put that together. And for those of you, I know Lydia referred to Chris, myself, because when I was part of the leadership lab, that was one of the things we were working on as part of housing. And as we quickly found, when we thought it was going to be so easy to determine what aging in place was going to be, and we thought we can get the answer in about 3 months, then we focused in on housing. And then, of course, even that, we focused on, and we found that this survey was something that we needed, because no one really knew, unless you talked to an individual, no one really knew in perspective what all the nuances are in terms of housing. So we had people who wanted to stay at their home, but wanted to keep their home and then have a border room versus having an additional dwelling unit in the back. Some people were complaining more about taxes being the issue, high taxes. Other people were complaining about having a condo, and maybe not a big condo, a smaller condo. All the dynamics that go with housing were pretty fascinating. And I think that's what, when we were focusing on the survey that Barb pretty much tried to finesse and polished it up, was trying to get answers, meaning trying to give it to anyone who was a senior and looking at that, and that would accommodate and try to tweak out exactly what they would be interested in, at least from that perspective as it relates to housing. So it's definitely worth looking at and trying to see what we want to get. So, okay. Okay, so then are there any other suggestions? I just want to be mindful. It's 8:20, not that we need to stop, but I just want to make sure I get everybody's ideas or recommendations before we end this. And I'm not trying to cut off the discussion. I want to make sure that if there's any other suggestions, that we put them out here for our minutes and then follow up.
I just want to circle back to the opportunity to explore early on how and if and when we might do some of this work with Maywood, and if it's appropriate.
Yes, thank you, yes. In terms of our assignment here, I think we have some suggestions to go. Is everyone feeling at least somewhat comfortable on the, or does someone have anything addition to say before we get to the covenant discussion? Okay, yeah, Dan?
A question, the survey that Lydia mentioned, is that on our Dropbox now?
Yes.
And what's its actual name?
I think it's the housing, what did it, it's just a Word document. Hold on.
Housing survey based on AARP 2020 version 2.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Sorry, I didn't mean my. Dan, did we answer your question? I didn't know if you
were
done.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to find out.
Okay, no problem. Okay, thank you. All right, so then let's get to the next discussion. Lydia, and it relates to, I know, the covenant between Maywood and River Forest. And now what you see as terms of aging in place and how it relates to the covenant. So take it from there.
Yeah, I don't have any answers. I just think, given that it's official, right? We're a sister city, or what? I don't know the language that we're.
Well, covenant that was written generally between us and Maywood. I know it was at least one of the issues they talked about. Sharing what type of economic savings our villages could have. It was very broad in terms of any like contracts or other issues of financial that can benefit both by pulling both resources together was one example. And it's not necessarily limited to that, but any other goals or related issues that the both of us can work together or benefit from each other with that. So I could see where maybe some of the aging in place can be useful. Maybe, you know, I'm trying to think out loud here in terms of that. I personally have not explored it with Miguel Jones is the guy I talked to. That sounds like the person you talked to. He was talking more on the business side of it. We have not spoken on the aging in place issues, but we can. I mean, we're not limited. I don't know what his thoughts would be on that issue. I'm guessing he would welcome it in some form or fashion. He probably would want to know what we're doing on it in terms of what we're focused. And so I don't know if you had some specific thoughts when you had a discussion with him, or was it very, heard about it?
I haven't reached out. Given current climates, issues around equity and inclusion, I just feel like we would be remiss to not open it up for a conversation and explore how, you know, issues around age-friendly and aging in place, what we're learning, what we're doing could benefit communities around us. It just feels like an important part of what this is. And then if we're going to be in partnership with Maywood, to have it be, again, just to explore, I don't know what it could look like, I guess. I'm happy to reach out to Trustee Jones and Trustee Booker on behalf of, you know, with my role at the Center for Gerontology at Concordia, but then also in this dual role with this committee, if people feel like it's appropriate, and just ask the question or put it out there and see what kind of interest they have.
And that would be fine if you reach out to them. I know they're probably already doing some services with their seniors as well. And we can probably find out what they're doing. And I think maybe, and who knows? I mean, they may have ideas how they approached, you know, their seniors. So it might be definitely worth the conversation to see, you know, how we can benefit or learn from each other for that matter. Maybe we won't have the same results or needs as they do, but I would assume there'd be a lot of common issues that we would have that we would help us, at least if not in terms of education, what to be aware of. So it's definitely worth the conversation. And if not, maybe they, at minimum, maybe if they can't answer the question, they'll probably maybe have somebody in Maywood who deals with senior services. I'm sure there is. I'm just trying to think too, when I went to these MMC meetings, I'm trying to picture if there's anybody from Maywood there. But I can't say it, but I can find out as well from Brian and or from Kyle, because they have their members there, and we can ask them to see who represents Maywood at those meetings as well. At least maybe they don't come to the meetings, but I know they will, they'll have somebody if they're interested in those meetings, they'll have somebody. But I can follow up. Well, you know Kyle as well, but I can follow up with that too. So, and you can by all means talk to Jones and Booker. I can follow up with, if you don't get anywhere with them, let me know. I can follow up with Kyle and find out who, if Maywood's part of the MMC Age in Place group, and then reach out to them to see who, because sometimes they'll send whoever is actually handling the senior services to those meetings.
So, okay, sounds okay. Good.
All right, okay. All right, is there any other thoughts, suggestions? Nope. Okay. So
I move to adjourn.
Okay. Well, we have Chris moving ahead. Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Dan, second. Now we will have to do, I think I'm told we're supposed to do a roll call just because it's Zooming during COVID. Oh. Otherwise, we would not. I don't. So. Sarah, you want to do a real quick roll call?
Chris Howery?
Adjournment.
Yes.
Ron's absent. Dan Lauber?
Yes.
Debbie Frederick?
Yes.
Jim Flanagan?
Yes.
Lydia Manning?
Yes.
And Chairperson Vasquez?
Okay, yes. And again, thank you all, and we'll move ahead.